DIEP, the technical deep dive, vision, use cases, and why AI systems can actually do this. This is the second deep dive into DIAP. The first one covered the protocol from the ground up. Two-layer consent, license tokens, render receipts, the economics. If you haven't heard that one, go listen to it first. This one goes deeper. I want to talk about three things: the long-term vision, where this goes beyond Hollywood; the specific use cases, real scenarios, not abstractions; and the question I get asked the most: can AI systems actually adapt their technology to fit this? Is this technically realistic? Let's start with the vision. Part 1: The Vision Beyond Entertainment. DIAP starts in entertainment because that's where the pain is most acute. Studios are scanning actors' faces with LiDAR, cloning voices with synthesis models, capturing motion data on stages covered in infrared cameras. And right now, the only thing standing between that data and unauthorized use is a contract clause, words on paper. But here's what I think about every day. This problem isn't limited to actors, it's universal, and it's accelerating. 5 years from now, generating a photorealistic video of any person doing anything will cost a few dollars and take a few minutes. That's not speculation. Look at the trajectory. 2 years ago, AI-generated faces looked uncanny. Today, you can't tell them apart from real footage. The resolution keeps climbing, the fidelity keeps improving, and the barrier to access keeps dropping. So the question isn't whether people's digital identities will be used without consent. They already are. The question is whether there will be infrastructure in place to prevent it at scale. That's what DIAP is, not a product for one industry. It's infrastructure for the entire AI identity economy. After entertainment, think about music. An AI model trained on a specific artist's vocal data can generate new songs in their style. It's already happening. There have been AI-generated tracks mimicking major artists that went viral on streaming platforms. The artist had no idea, no consent, no compensation. DIAP's voice module and consent model would give musicians the same protection we're building for actors. Register your vocal identity, set your consent. Any AI system that wants to generate content using your voice checks with DIAP first. Think about professional athletes. Their likenesses are used in video games, virtual reality experiences, AI-generated highlight reels, branded content. Right now, each of those is governed by a separate licensing agreement. DIAP could unify that into a single consent layer. One vault, one set of rules, every platform checks. Think about the creator economy. There are people with millions of followers whose faces and voices are publicly available in thousands of hours of video. That's a training data set. Deepfakes of influencers are already being used in scam ads, unauthorized endorsements, and worse. A creator could register with DIAP, and any platform using AI-generated likenesses could verify against the registry before publishing. And eventually, and this is the real endgame, think about ordinary people. As generative AI becomes commodity software, anyone's face can be synthesized from a handful of photos. Your digital identity becomes something that needs protection the same way your financial identity does today. DIAP is building the infrastructure for that world. The timeline is entertainment first because the structures exist: guilds, contracts, production pipelines, studios that already integrate compliance tools. But the protocol is industry agnostic by design. The consent model, the token system, the audit trail, none of it assumes you're in Hollywood. Part 2, use cases in detail. Let me walk through specific scenarios so you can see how this works in practice. Scenario 1, a major studio is producing a film. They've cast an actor and need to do a full facial capture for digital effects work. On the studio floor, they use their own LiDAR rig, equipment they already own. The rig runs DIAP certified software, which means after the raw scan is complete, it extracts standardized embeddings, mathematical representations, not the raw face data, and packages them into what we call an identity anchor payload. That payload gets submitted to DIAP's API. The actor, who already has a DIAP profile, gets a notification on their dashboard. They review the submission, see what was captured, which studio submitted it, and approve it into their vault. Now that Anchor is registered, when the VFX team needs to render digital effects using the actor's likeness, their pipeline requests a license token from DiapScope to this specific film. Token issued, rendering proceeds. When they're done, a render receipt gets submitted documenting exactly what was produced. The actor sees all of this in real time. Scenario 2. Same film, but 8 days later, the director decides 14 voice lines need to be adjusted using AI synthesis. The studio doesn't need a new license token. The existing one covers voice rendering for this project. But when the AI model modifies those lines, a new render receipt is submitted. This receipt includes specific fields, AI modification flagged, which model was used, how many lines were changed, what percentage of the content was modified, and a reference back to the original recording. The actor's agent sees this in the audit log. They know exactly what AI did, when, and how much. Scenario 3. A music streaming platform wants to offer AI-generated covers of popular songs using original artists' vocal styles. Under DApp, each artist's voice is registered as a module in their vault. The platform submits a license request for each artist, specifying the scope, AI voice generation, specific songs, specific duration. Artists or their managers approve or deny through the platform. Every generated track produces a render receipt. If an artist decides they don't want their voice used for AI covers anymore, they flip Layer 1 visibility off. Their voice becomes invisible to every connected platform, instantly. Scenario 4. A deepfake detection platform wants to verify whether a piece of content was authorized. They don't need a license token. They're not generating anything. They call DiApp's verification API with the content's embedded watermark. DiApp returns the authorization status, who the talent is, which studio produced it, under what license, whether it's still valid. This is a read-only operation, free tier, no certification required. This means any social media platform, any news organization, any content moderator can verify DiApp authorized content without being part of the production pipeline. Scenario 5. A game studio is building an AAA title and wants to use a real athlete's likeness for a character. They submit a license request through DiApp specifying the game title, the modules they need, face, voice, motion, the rights scope, and the duration. The athlete's agent reviews it on their dashboard, negotiates terms through the normal business process, and approves. The game engine checks the license token every time it loads that character's assets. Token valid. Assets load. Token expired or revoked. Assets are replaced with a placeholder. The game ships with DiApp compliance built in. These aren't hypothetical product features. These are direct applications of the protocol's existing architecture. Two-layer consent, scope tokens, render receipts, audit trails. The same building blocks applied across different contexts. Part 3, can AI systems actually adapt to this? This is the question that matters most. Because you can design the most elegant protocol in the world, but if the technology can't integrate it, it's just a PDF. So let me be very direct about this. Yes, AI systems can adapt to DiApp. And the reason is that what DiApp asks of a rendering pipeline is technically simple. Let's break down what an AI rendering pipeline actually does. At the highest level, it takes input data, a face scan, a voice recording, a motion capture file, processes it through one or more models, and produces output, rendered frames, synthesized audio, animated sequences. The key moment for DiApp is the boundary between I have input data and I'm about to process it. That's where the authorization check goes. In software engineering terms, this is middleware. It's an API call inserted into the pipeline before processing begins. The studio's rendering engine, before it loads a talent's face data into a model, makes a single API call to DiApp. Here's the talent ID, here's the module I want to use, here's the project scope. DiApp returns either a valid license token or a denial. That's it. One HTTP request, one response. the pipeline either proceeds or stops. This is not a fundamental change to how AI works. This is a permissions check. Every piece of software in the world already does permissions checks. Your phone checks permissions before an app accesses your camera. Your operating system checks permissions before software reads a file. Cloud platforms check permissions before accessing a database. DApp is the same pattern applied to identity data in AI pipelines. Now let's talk about specific tools and how they would integrate. Take Unreal Engine, which is the dominant real-time rendering engine in film and games. Unreal already has a plugin architecture. Studios already build custom plugins for their VFX pipelines. A DiApp integration would be a plugin that hooks into Unreal's asset loading system. When the engine loads a digital human asset, a metahuman, a facial capture, whatever it is, the plugin checks whether a valid DiApp license token exists for that asset. If yes, the asset loads normally. If no, the asset is blocked. Technically, this is an asset validation callback. Unreal's architecture already supports this pattern. Studios wouldn't need to modify the engine, they'd install a plugin. Take Unity. Same concept. Unity's asset pipeline has import callbacks and loading hooks, a DiApp script module, and I'm using that term deliberately because that's what DiApp calls its modular enforcement components. A DiApp script module in Unity would register as a loading interceptor. Before any identity-linked asset is instantiated in a scene, the script module validates the token. Unity's architecture is built for exactly this kind of extensibility. Take Adobe's Creative Suite, After Effects, Premiere, Photoshop. Adobe already has an extension framework. A DiApp extension could check authorization before allowing AI-powered features, like generative fill or neural filters, to operate on content that includes a registered identity. Adobe's own Content Credentials Initiative, which embeds provenance data into creative files, is philosophically aligned with what DiApp does. The integration surface is already there. Take a custom AI pipeline, the kind a major VFX house runs internally. These are typically Python-based. They use frameworks like PyTorch or TensorFlow. The rendering pipeline is a series of scripts that load data, run inference, and write output. Adding DApp is literally adding a function call at the beginning of the pipeline. Before you load the model, call the DApp SDK, pass the talent ID, the module type, and the project scope. Get back a token or a denial. It's a few lines of code. We would provide a Python SDK that wraps the API. The integration effort for a competent engineering team is days, not months. Now, what about the render receipt? After processing, the pipeline submits a receipt to DApp documenting what was produced. This is a post request with structured data, frame count, duration, model used, whether a watermark was embedded. Again, this is a single API call at the end of the pipeline. Most professional pipelines already log this kind of metadata for their own internal tracking. DiApp just standardizes where it goes. And the heartbeat. During active rendering sessions, the pipeline sends a ping to DApp every 15 minutes, confirming the session is still running under a valid token. This is a background process, a cron job, a timer callback. Every rendering pipeline already has background processes for monitoring and logging. Adding a heartbeat is trivial. Let me address the concern I hear most often. This adds latency to our pipeline. Here's the reality. The token validation call happens once at the start of a session, not per frame. It's a single HTTPS request that takes maybe 200 milliseconds. The token is then cached locally for the session duration. The rendering itself, which might take hours or days, is completely unaffected. The heartbeat is a lightweight ping every 15 minutes. The receipt is a single call at the end. The total overhead on a multi-hour rendering session is measured in seconds. Another concern, what if DiApp servers go down? Fair question. The protocol is designed with graceful degradation. Tokens are issued with a validity window and can be cached locally. If DiApp is temporarily unreachable, a valid cache token still works. The heartbeat can buffer and retry. The receipt can queue and submit when connectivity is restored. No rendering session is interrupted by a temporary network issue. But, and this is important, you can't start a new session without reaching DApp. You can't get a new token offline. This is by design. The grace period protects active work. The hard gate protects against unauthorized new work. The last piece is the SDK itself. DApp would provide client libraries for the major languages and platforms. A Python SDK for custom pipelines, a C++ SDK for engine integrations, a JavaScript SDK for web-based tools, a REST API for anything else. The SDK handles authentication, token caching, heartbeat management, and receipt submission. A studio's engineering team integrates the SDK, and the protocol becomes transparent to the artists and operators using the tools. They never see it. They just work. And the system enforces consent underneath. This is the key insight. DApp doesn't ask AI to work differently. It doesn't require new model architectures. It doesn't slow down creative pipelines. It adds a permissions layer to the existing workflow, and that permissions layer uses patterns that every software engineer already understands: API calls, tokens, caching, webhooks, audit logs. The technology can absolutely do this. The question was never technical. The question is whether the industry decides to adopt it, and that's where the guilds, the studios, and the regulatory environment come in. The DGA's upcoming negotiations with the AMPTP, SAG-AFTRA's ongoing push for digital likeness protections, the EU AI Act's provisions on synthetic content, all of these create pressure toward exactly this kind of infrastructure. DApp is ready to be that infrastructure. The protocol is designed, the API surface is defined, the enforcement mechanisms work together, the economic model aligns incentives, and the technical integration path is clear. The window to build this is right now, before the technology outpaces the infrastructure, before unauthorized use becomes so normalized that consent feels like an afterthought. Right now, that's the expanded vision, that's the technical case, and that's DApp.